You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
A KFC tale in the pursuit of flavor. The Colonel despised the word empty. Empty plates, empty tables, empty stomachs. That's why he made the KFC $5 bowls, like the famous bowl. Creamy mashed potatoes, crispy chicken, corn, gravy, and cheese. Because the only empty the Colonel liked was when you reached the bottom of that bowl. The Colonel lived so we could chicken. Five KFC bowls for just $5 each.
Prices and participation may vary. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot not laugh after the conversation that we've just got done having before we started recording. Mm-hmm. But Tony Peterson is back. My friend, welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Do you ever dream about smallmouth bass?
I dream about fishing a lot.
Yeah.
But mostly my dreams are either somebody's chasing me trying to kill me.
Okay.
Or way more common is there's some kind of scenario where I have to like load up a go bag, round up my family and get out. Zombie apocalypse, alien invasion, something where I'm like, where's the gun? Where are the bullets? Like, how do I get as much survival gear as possible into my truck while the clock's ticking?
Wow. That's pretty awesome. I love
it's not. It's horrible.
Like a lot of stress when you sleep then?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You just kind of describe the kind of movies and shows that I like to watch.
Right. Yeah. That's a great scenario for somebody else to be in a fake world.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So two dreams that I have a lot. Well, I had a lot and then they stopped recently. One was imagine South Dakota or maybe in eastern Wyoming, North Dakota, like this endless sea of grass, right? Just your typical prairie. Rolling prairie, and there's one tree on top of the next hill. There's a hill in front of me, and then the next hill has a tree, and I can hear a crying baby.
Oh boy.
And then so I walk down, you know, and so you go down and you can't see the tree on the next hill, and then you walk up to the hill and thinking you're gonna be closer, there's still another hill. So the entire dream is me walking up and down these hills, not gaining any distance to this crying baby.
I think that maybe you and I should go see a shrink together. We could go north. We could go north, south on their couch, get a 2-for-1 deal.
Yep.
And then
yep.
They can analyze our dreams.
And then they'll just be like, dude, you guys are fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the dream I had last night, it's almost embarrassing, but there's this thicker woman, and she's on the TV. And it's very sexual in nature, and it is her, and it is a dude, and they're doing stuff to each other, and my youngest son is watching it, somehow it turns on, and I grab the remote out of his hand, and I'm switching it. I'm hitting the button to try to switch the channels, but every time I turn the channel, it's the same chick in a different scenario.
Oh God,
of sexual nature, and I'm like, I'm like stressing out, trying to. Finally, I unplug the TV and I turn to my son, and he's got this gigantic smile on his face. So that was the dream. That very, very weird. I don't know. Like I've been having a lot of very weird dreams lately.
There is a lot to unpack there, bud.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I don't think I'm qualified
to talk about it
for that one.
Okay. All right. All right. So I've done a little preparation for today's episode. Do you see the bottom half of this sheet? Where are we at here? Do you see the bottom half of this sheet?
Got to hold it up flat against the camera there, buddy. There you go.
The bottom half.
Half. Oh, sorry. Yep.
Bottom half. Yep. See, that's all the stuff we're going to talk about today that I've prepared, so nothing. But before we get into today's episode, I do have to run through the thank yous real quick to all of the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. If you're looking to saddle hunt, go check out Tethered. I mean, they got everything. They got all the equipment you need and the educational information that you need to become a better saddle hunter. Go check out Tethered. Wasp Archery, my favorite head on the planet. This is great material, great engineering, great design, and they're made in the USA. WaspArchery.com, discount code NFC20. Vortex Optics. I mean, the cream of the crop when it comes to optics for your firearm. Binocular, spotting scope, rangefinders, red dots, rifle scopes, whatever you need, vortexoptics.com. Go check them out. Code Blue Sense, huge fan of the Rope-A-Dope Mock Scrape Kit. They have scent elimination products. They have real and synthetic deer urine. So the list goes on. CodeBlueSense.com, discount code NFC20. Huntworth, a lot of people will compare them to the elite brands. I mean, the quality is very high for a much more affordable price. So huntworthgear.com, go check them out. Reveal trail cameras. You open the box, you put your batteries in, you scan the QR code, and now you have a fully functioning cell camera that is ready to go. Go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new versions of the 3.0. And then Tony, last but not least, my brand, which is probably the best brand in the hunting industry, Full Sneak Gear.
Top three. Gotta be
top
right.
Three. Yep. Top three brands. That was in an article that I read. I also wrote it, but it was in an article.
But you read it too.
I read it and I wrote it. So it's got to be true if it's on paper somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
FullSneakGear.com. Go check it out. Okay, Tony Peterson. There's a lot of people in this world. And in this world, there are people that we like Tony. I can imagine being on a boat on the Mississippi River. What pool are we in this story? In this story that I'm envisioning, what pool are we in?
Probably eight.
Okay, pool eight. On the Mississippi River, and we're fishing for whatever bites, okay? I can hang out with you. I've been around you long enough where I like you. I could hang out with you. There's also people, I'm not going to name names, that I don't want to hang out with because I think they're douchebags. And usually it's because of a pet peeve of some sort that I have against those types of people. My first question to you today, Tony, is...
I didn't think we were going to get to Mark this early.
There it is. There's the check. Let me check off insult Mark Kenyon box.
God, right off the bat.
Right off the bat. What are some pet peeves that really just rub you the wrong way? Like things that other people do or say or act, how they act that piss you off or make you not like them?
Do you know what personality trait drives me freaking nuts?
Okay.
It's the person who thinks, it's typically a dude. Mm-hmm. Thinks he's really funny, but is not. And so, like, it's the most obvious, dumb jokes all the time. That kind mm-hmm. of person. One of my buddies, I shouldn't say too much about this. One of my buddies married into a family where there's a guy in that family who I've had some exposure to who's like that. And it, like, listening to him, I'm like, I would push you in front of a train right now just to save the world from these shitty jokes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that trait sucks. I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, man. Like they try to rip jokes and you're like, yeah, like you're trying to be the funny one in the group, but you're not the funny one. Like you should go back to being the dependable one that we can all rely on. You know what I mean? So it's like, have you ever seen that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're talking about what they are and like Charlie says, I'm the wild card.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's the perfect one for you. You're the wild card. And then they argue about who the leader is and shit like that. So I can see that.
That show's so good.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Frank, by the way, is my favorite character in that show.
So funny.
Danny DeVito, holy cow, underrated. My pet peeve, one of my pet peeves, is when people speak in a matter of fact, right? But they're wrong. And one of the latest examples that I can share with you is I was talking to a guy, and he deemed himself a serious deer hunter. And he was like, yeah, dude, I shoot all the 8-pointers. Because I want 10 pointers, right? I'm doing a lot of really good deer management on this farm and in this area. And I'm like, wait a second. And I could have just stopped the whole thing that day. And I could have said, oh, good for you. And then turned around and walked away. But I hit him with the studies show that you're wrong. And then I even pulled up like stuff from the NDA and the Mississippi State Deer Lab and was showing him, and his mind was blown, right? But then he didn't want to take the L, so he started going into other categories where he was also wrong. And like, I was correcting him because it's so annoying to me and maybe he's like, Jesus, who's this guy? He's an asshole. But I came with facts, right? And so I don't know if I ruined that particular day for him, and maybe I came off as a know-it-all or something like that, but I just could not deal with people who are like, well, I heard one time, or this is what used to be. Well, it's not the truth. And then they continue to go and go and go, and it never really works out for me that way. I can't stand people like that.
That's like a very common human trait, right? Mm-hmm. You fill in the blanks to sort of serve the direction you want to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, I only hunt when it's a new moon because they don't move when it's a full moon. Well, if you only hunt when it's a new moon, that's the only time you're going to see deer.
Right.
Like we lean into that shit so hard. And I think you hit a certain age, like a certain experience level where you're like, man, we don't know anything anything. So mm-hmm. when you're filling in the blanks about huge things, about humanity's future and life and where we came from and all this stuff, I'm like, we don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let alone if you shoot all the 8-pointers that walk by you, however many tags you're possibly going to get, you're not going to affect the genetics enough to suddenly have a bunch of 10-pointers.
Yep. Bingo. Bingo.
Right.
I got to get rid of all these 8-pointers. I got to get rid of them.
Dude, you want to know, can I tell you a crazy story about that?
Yes.
So it's kind of like about that. One of the first trips I ever got invited on when I got into the hunting industry, I got invited by these guys to go down to the middle of nowhere, Texas, to hunt Rios down there, hunt turkeys. Okay. And so we were on this lease that they had a turkey lease, but it was also a deer lease. They didn't deer lease it. It was like an oil company leased it for deer. And so we're hunting these turkeys down there in like real southern Texas stuff, mesquite, cactus, mm-hmm. all that shit. And we kept finding, because down in the desert, those bones just last, right? Like those deer, like you just find piles of bones all over. It's mm-hmm. not a wet environment that takes care of it. And we kept finding like deadheads of 8-pointers under like a bush. And you'd look and be like, well, there's a shooting house 250 yards away there. Like, how did they not find this deer? Obviously they probably shot it there, but it was like this thing that kept happening. And so finally I asked one of the guys, I was like, dude, what is up with all these deadhead 8-pointers? And he said, oh, they have a 10-point minimum here. And so they bring in all these clients to hunt, and these clients see what they think is a big buck walk out of the, mesquite toward the feeder or whatever, and they shoot it and they walk up, it's an 8-pointer and there's a big fine. So they drag that sumbitch off into the brush, leave it, and wait for a buck that's a 10-pointer. And I was like, holy shit. Like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, that's why there's all these deadhead eight pointers all over it. So even if you had a 150-inch eight-pointer come in there, you couldn't shoot it.
Man,
because it's tens or nothing.
Morally and ethically and legally wrong with that. Like, big time.
Yeah, checks all the boxes, buddy. And I was like, I mean, at some point you have to be realistic about if you're running something like that and you're like, oh, we have these high-flying clients from Houston or wherever we're bringing out – they might have no experience deer hunting.
Right.
You know, like the odds are you're not inviting a bunch of dudes who have a ton of deer hunting experience who are going to glass them up and count points and be like, follow all their rules. Like, you're bringing people in who don't probably do it a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to, like, work with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was amazing to me.
Yeah. I can't wait until some story breaks about how you're involved in a poaching ring down in Texas.
Dude, well, I was turkey hunting, and this was 16, 17 years ago, and
okay,
it wasn't me.
Well, all right. So the period of what they call that, double jeopardy or some shit like that, right?
Well, the statute of limitations.
Yeah, statute of limitations, yeah.
But I bet you, I mean, those situations, I bet you, I mean, who knows how many years that is stacked up of clients going down there. But to them, when I asked them about it, when I asked the guys who leased the turkey part, they were just like, yeah, that's just what this place is.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't freaking, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That I, after all this time, like, nobody who runs that operation has taken a walk around, because we didn't take us very long. And we're like, yeah, there's a freaking skull there. There's a skull there.
Damn.
It's such a different world, man.
Yeah. Do you have any other pet peeves?
Yeah. So I was just... how do I say this without getting into trouble? I think at a certain point in life, you just figure out sort of what the world values you at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, like, you're just like, the world is going to show you what you're bringing to the table.
Right.
You know, like, mostly money-wise, but like opportunity-wise, whatever else. And the people who just can't get past that, like, somebody's holding me back. So this is where I'm at is somebody else's fault. You see this right now, like, a ton with, like, the war on the billionaires. As if you got rid of all the billionaires today, all these people would suddenly, like, rise up and have a much better – like, it wouldn't work that way. Like, the world is assigning you a value, and you can change that. But it's not going to change because you go murder Zuck and Bezos and these guys. Like, it's not – that's not how that's going to work. And I see that a lot, where it's, like, you know, kind of this victim mentality thing, but, like – I should be at this level, right? Like, if I'm a dog trainer and people don't know who I am and I have this small clientele, but I see these people who are really good at marketing and who have, you know, a real presence and they can charge a lot for their dogs and their services. Like, why don't I have that? I have to be as good or better than them at dog training. It's like, yeah, but you're not as good at business.
Yeah.
And that business is getting rewarded, whether you agree with it or not. And that kind of mentality is like, you know, again, like, you're just responsible for yourself. So if you're focusing on all these other people and they must be the reason that you're not doing something, and not, it's not like you can't have a shitty boss who holds you back or something. Like, you, there are people who will try to kind of hold you down. But it's like, our agency is just you just have to do it. Like, it's the same thing. You know, we talk a lot about, like, going to the gym and getting in shape and taking care of yourself. And it's like, people like to focus on other people at the gym. Like, oh, they stare at me or blah, 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 down the line. Like, I don't like to be around this. It's like, you're not competing against anybody but yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Well, the deer hunting world. I mean, we see this all the time. Like, oh, he's – I wish I had the opportunities that Andy May has, because then I'd kill bucks like him. Like, no, you wouldn't. And Andy May's not competing against you. He's competing against himself every day. Like, that's who's holding you back is you.
Right. Yeah, that's such a – like, the victimization of people, right?
It's – right.
Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing – a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
I grew up in a household where you can, if you didn't take action, you weren't going to do shit that day, right? And so it's crazy when someone says, "Oh, I had it so hard. I have it so hard," and this and that. I'm like, buddy, there's people out there who have rose up from literal mud and blood and guts and like 20 people in a single bedroom, and you know, like what I mean? Just, and then they've made it. So listening to your sob story is just, it's laughable. Right. It's laughable.
Right.
So yeah, I get it. And I used to be there at some point in my life where I was like, it must be nice. It must be nice. And that was kind of back in the day where I would be like, it must be nice to kill all these big bucks on a highly managed farm. You know, like, yeah, they had to work to get there. But the thing that pissed me off the most was they weren't sharing the whole story. They were just showing giant bucks getting shot, but not telling like it almost like there was a false sense of you can go and do this too. Actually, no, you can't do that.
Right. Right.
Unless you have a ton of money to go buy a ground and do this, I feel like there was a little bit of that. Now a lot of that has come out in the stories that are being told now. So Dan Johnson says it must be nice a little bit less now these days.
Well, I mean, that is a natural human impulse. I mean, right. Jealousy, envy.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Pretty natural. We all go through it. I mean, yeah. It's not those kind of things. It's the same thing as like happiness. It's like, it's a moving target. You have to work on it. So if you're constantly jealous of other people's opportunities, a lot of people are jealous of other people's stuff, right?
Yep.
But you have to work. Yep. Like that's not yours, right?
Right.
And it's like you have to recognize also not we always like focus up, right? Like, well, that guy has that. That guy has that. While there are people below you looking up going, I wish I had what you have.
Exactly. You know?
Like I think about this all the time. When I was growing up, we had little boats, right? My dad always had like a 14 or a 16 foot boat, tiller steered, 25 horse. Or I remember when he got a 16 footer that had a 35 horse motor on it. And I was like, holy shit, like we are crushing it. But we'd go fish wherever, and I would see people with bass boats or bigger boats. And I would just be like, I want that so freaking much.
Yeah.
Like so much. And it's like, yeah, you got to just get there, man. Like if that's like an achievable goal. Mm-hmm. You can figure that out. But I remember just being like so freaking jealous of somebody who had an actual bass boat.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, it's a natural thing, but you hit a certain point in your life where you're like, yeah, a lot of people have a lot more than you do.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're still probably pretty lucky.
Yeah. So I was a freshman in high school, and my mom, for the first week of school, like the summer, she brought me a brand new pair of shoes. They were from Walmart. They were Spalding's, and they were white. And that was like white and blue. And they were against the trend at the time, which was black Nikes, right? Everybody had black Nikes. And I wore those shoes to school, and I got made fun of, right? People were making fun of me for having these shoes. My friends were even like ribbing me a little bit, but it, like there was a, the older kids were just like, I wouldn't even come to school in those shoes, buddy. Like, and I was like, this sucks. Like my feelings are hurt and shit like that. And so I had, at the time I had a little bit of a paper route and some odds and ends jobs that I would do. And I saved up money to go buy a pair of black Nikes, and I got them and I wore them to school. And I still had the same friends, the older guys that were there. They made fun of me for something different. Like they were joking me around. And then I was like, man, I spent all this money on these pair of shoes and nothing's really changed. And I was just like, what the fuck? You know, like this, I thought I was supposed to be cool now. And really at the end of the day, like, you comparison it's true, man. Comparison is the thief of joy. And I've tried, like me personally, I have tried my hardest not to compare myself to any like other people per se, just blinders on.
Yeah. I mean, you just hit a point where you're just in your just miserable, desperate lane and you just accept it.
Yep.
As a human.
Yep. One of my other pet peeves is people who talk about money all the time, and they talk about, like, I've run into a couple people where they start to talk and you're just envisioning putting a gun in your mouth and pulling the trigger, because that's somehow the only way out of that conversation. But when people are like, yeah, this guy makes $480,000 a year, he drives one of the 2025 F-350s with dualies, and like, I'm just like, why are you giving me all these extra details that don't help move the story along? Right. And there's some people out there who do that. And it just, I'm just like, why are you so focused on the money or the numbers of this conversation? Why can't you just tell the conversation? I don't know why I get so annoyed with that.
Dude, I was just down in South Carolina in Charleston at an expo, and the old money and the trophy wife culture there is bananas. And I was at like this, they invited us to like this private event, like this barbecue bluegrass band thing. And I was standing there talking to people, and I was like, these people are just like a different species from me, because it's just their lived experience. You know, it's like generational wealth, like just oozing. Like you can just, it's just there. It's like prevalent in every, you know, like every conversation is about the other beach house or whatever. And then the trophy wife thing is just like so in your face. And just I think part of the reason that bothers us so much is if you're like a Midwestern person, that's like not a thing. You know what I mean? Like you just don't have, that's not, I mean, I shouldn't say it's not a thing. It's just not nearly as prevalent as it is in some regions and some cultures where we're just like, you just don't do that, because we were all kind of like poor growing up, and like we were all just going to ascend to some level of middle class probably, and that's just sort of it. But there's there are places out there where that's just such a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I get annoyed, but I tell you what is admirable is when you meet someone, they're just a kick-ass person, and you know, you're like, oh, this guy's cool, and then you find out that they have a fuck ton of money and they don't ever talk about it. That makes, for some reason, them cooler then, because they have worked hard for it. I know a guy, what did he do? He had a construction company, and he basically would go in, demolish entire city blocks, and then build brand new, like giant skyscraper type buildings. Okay. And you look at this guy, and he lives in a meager house, and he whatever. And then I met him, like the way he dressed or his truck was nothing, nothing fancy. And then you meet him and you find out through other people talking, like the people that I get annoyed with. And then you're like, yeah, that dude is loaded. That guy is loaded. And you're like, I would have never known. Right. I would have never known that. And I don't know.
Dude, at one point in my writing career, I was a ghostwriter for two different people, kind of high profile people in the outdoor space. And they were both great guys. They are both great guys. But one of them was very quick to talk about, you know, his house on the beach, his stuff, his life. The other one, you can barely get him to talk about that stuff. And I'll never forget when I went out to one of his places. He has three. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, holy shit, this place is amazing. Like, so cool. I'm like, yeah, I got 1,100 acres here. And I'm like, you have 1,100 acres here? You know, but you would never know. Like, he's never going to be like, that's never going to be a detail that he's going to just share just to let you know.
Right.
Like, if it's germane to the conversation or if it just comes up organically, yeah, you'll find that out. But it's like, and then when I think about my experience, you know, working for these guys and with these guys and how differently it was, like, for me to try to get my check and, like, for me to just be, like, have a fair deal with them, the guy who was, like, very soft-spoken and not bragging was, like, a dream.
Mm-hmm.
A dream. Like, I never had a problem in, like, 10 years of writing his shit. And the other guy, I'm like, why am I chasing down $500 checks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why do I have to do this when you're telling me about all of your stuff? And it's like, they're just different, you know?
Yeah. As Wu-Tang Clan would say, cash rules everything around me. I don't know if that makes a difference in this topic, but
look,
I feel like the Wu-Tang Clan had it figured out.
I feel like if anybody should be giving us advice about life, it's the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially two middle-aged white dudes from the Midwest.
I'll be honest, dude. I grew up listening to a lot of rap music. Okay. I don't know why. I couldn't relate to anything. Like, other than my parents getting divorced, I lived, like, I had a good kind of childhood, right? We didn't have a lot of money, but I couldn't relate to anything that they were saying. Like, cops weren't beating up my friends and shit like that. And I listened to a lot of rap music. I don't know why, but I also listened to a ton of 90s country as well. So what I'm getting at is I'm very cultured.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was picking up out of that.
Yep. Very cultured. By the way, music, I thought of you the other day. I heard some of the most vulgar death metal come through whatever I was listening to, and I was like, oh, I wonder what Tony Peterson's doing right now. I think the exact lyrics I went back was like, decapitate your enemies so their soul is pulled into a fiery hell at which they, but it was like,
right.
So, and I thought of you, man. So,
well, I appreciate that, I guess.
Yep.
I do like some anger in my music at certain points.
Now, do you like that type of music because it is like it helps you vent, or is that like truly how you feel on the inside?
I have a lot of anger in my heart, just generally. Okay. But okay. I think one of the reasons that I like some pretty heavy metal is because there is some serious musicianship there. And I like guitars and I like drums, man. Yeah. And so a lot of times the singing sucks. A lot of times the singing sucks because the same shit, you can't understand it.
Yeah.
But there'll be breakdowns in those songs where there's like real music, where you're like, this is like real skill. So it's not just like the nonstop, like super heavy shit that's, you know, going a million miles a second. That's not really my thing. Like, I like it when there's like, when you'll get to a part and you're like, holy shit. Like, that is a really cool guitar part. And like, a lot of that stuff, some of those guitarists are freaking incredible. And you can't have a band like that and have a drummer who sucks.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, There are different reasons why I like it.
Yeah. And that's something that I figured out is a lot of these heavy metal guitarists are classically trained.
Right.
And then they add their own heavy metal spin to it. And so like how they work their fingers up and down the frets is a lot the same way that classical guys do it as right. well. And of course you got the power strokes that make metal metal, but then all like the guitar solo stuff, that's a lot of it is the same as classical.
Right. There's a lot going on there. And I yeah. think one of the things, this is like a weird tangent here, mm-hmm. but I think one of the things I like about any kind of music is when it's not like predictable, when it's not like formulaic, right? Yeah. You know, this is an easy thing to shit on, but you know, if you look at the song structure of like a Luke Bryan song, mm-hmm. that structure will exist in Jason Aldean songs and those guys who are making it big. Mm-hmm. Like there is a structure to it, right? We saw that when Nirvana came out, and you look at the structure of those and all that followed, whatever. But then you get some of these bands that are just like, we're just going to break the rules and try something different. You know, and I think you could go back to like Bob Dylan or probably the Beatles and find that, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But I love when somebody's like, we are not doing, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, whatever. Like we're not following the pattern. I love that shit. And you see that when you have bands who are like, if they're like, we're death metal and this is all we do, it's probably not going to be that interesting, mm-hmm. you know, but some of them, they're going to just like color outside the lines. And any artist who does that, like that doesn't just like limit themselves. I just love that shit.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, Tony Peterson. What band, if Tony Peterson had a theme song, what band is writing your theme song?
It's got to be Tool.
Tool?
Yeah.
Dude, I like Tool.
Yeah,
me too. I like Tool. Tool, I'm going to go in a direction you probably may not know, but one of my favorite types of music is blues music. And if I could have someone write my theme song, it would probably be John Lee Hooker.
Mm. Yeah, I did not see that coming.
Didn't see it coming. Didn't
yeah.
see
it. He Boy, has a I like song. Some blues too, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a song, and I'm having trouble trying to remember it right now, but it's about like this guy who tries to hook up with his wife, and people find out about it, and he's like, he's writing this and singing this song as if he's like a mob boss, and he's like, I'm going to take you to the swamp, I'm going to stab you, and I'm going to hold your head underwater until bubbles pop up from the ground, but I'm not going to be the one to do it. One of my crew is. And it is the most, it's one of the craziest songs because the lyrics don't match the vibe, because it's like, you know, your typical blues music, but it's very violent. It's a very violent song. And for some reason, that's like a guy who walks around calm, but you do not fuck with him because, right. like, he'll make you pay. So, I don't know. I thought, I want a song like that.
Calm Like a Bomb, Rage Against the Machine.
Calm Like a Bomb. I don't know if I've ever heard that song.
I like a little rage.
Okay. All right. We got a little bit of time left. This is the part of the show we call the hard pivot.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, Galaxy rewinding,
what is the whole network Galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Where we just completely switch, we go a different direction, basically like this entire podcast has been. And we talk about something completely random, but you're going to pick it this time. What are we talking about, Tony?
Oh, something. Are we supposed to talk about hunting on this podcast?
You can do whatever you want. We can hard pivot in back into hunting if you want.
Should we talk about turkey hunting?
Fuck no. It, I guess, dude. I guess. If you want. I'll talk about turkey hunting. Do you want to?
I don't care. I mean, you put me on the spot. I didn't know where we were supposed to go with this. I kind of feel bad that we haven't talked about any kind of hunting yet.
Okay.
Did we?
Let me tell you a story. I got my buddy, Paul Campbell. He works for the National Wild Turkey Federation. And I got a story that I'm going to tell you, and I think I've told it here before, that pisses him off every single time, because he is a serious hardcore. He loves turkey hunting. And I'm chasing gobbles one morning, and I pop up over this little knob, and there's a trash can, a black trash bag caught on a corn stalk, and it's blowing in the wind. It's like kind of puffed up, but it's blowing in the wind. Black trash bag. And there's a tom strutting around this black trash bag. And I'm like, dude, turkeys are pretty stupid if they're going to strut around a black trash bag, right? And so I snuck up. I did a little calling. He took a couple steps my direction, and I shot him over top of a black trash bag blowing in the wind. And I think it pisses him off because he's like how we are kind of about our gear on the deer hunting side. I grew up with my uncle slamming car doors for shot gobbles instead of using crow calls and stuff like that. So my first turkey hunt experience was just straight run and gun through the woods. There's no, like, I was probably wearing blue jeans and a green, like something like what I'm wearing now. And we were getting the job done. And so when you bring those types of stories to, like, dude, turkeys are stupid, man. They'll come into anything and whatever like that. It really pisses him off. So that's a story that I like telling to serious turkey hunters.
Well, turkeys are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hard one. You know, turkeys are so fun. I mean, the primary draw is this freaking fun. It's not because it's like a crazy challenge. I mean, there are situations where it can be tough, but I'll tell you what, I was on a farm in southeastern Minnesota one time, a long time ago, chasing gobbles, just like you were. And I popped out on the bottom of this field, popped out of the woods, and it was a giant alfalfa field. I was hunting sometime in May, probably early May. And I looked way across the alfalfa field, and there's a tom strut. And so I sat down right there on the edge of that field, and I started calling and calling and calling. I'm like, that bird has not come out of strut since. And then after like 45 minutes, I'm like, that bird hasn't moved at all. And it was a black trash bag. So how dumb that tom was that you killed by strutting around a black trash bag. I was at like the intellectual level of that tom, because I called to a black trash bag across. This was before we carried binoculars turkey hunting. You know, you had a little pack. You just go roll through the woods till you ran into one. So I've been there as well.
Dude, one of the scariest moments I've ever had was when one of the first years I ever went, I was probably 13 years old, maybe a little younger. I can't remember. But I'm hearing some activity down. I'm hearing hen. I hear some gobbles, and I had a decoy, and I set in the fence. I sent kind of outside of this. I was in a cattle pasture on an outside corner, and on the other side of the fence was all this timber. So I was trying to call turkeys out of the timber into this pasture, and I set a decoy up, and then I sat right on this corner facing the decoy, and I started hearing gobbles, and then I started hearing a hen get closer and closer and closer to where it was really close. And then it kind of just stopped for a while, and I was lightly calling, and then the gobbles kind of stopped. And then I'd hear like this scratching of the leaves. And I'm like, oh my God, and then it stopped for a while. And I poke my head around this bush, and there's a 12 gauge at about 20 yards pointed right at my head. And the guy lowers his gun, pulls down his mask. He's like, oh shit, I almost shot you. really just happy joking. And so we just both went our separate ways, but I was like, oh my God, I almost got peppered. You know, it would hurt. Do you think a 12 gauge at 20 yards full of bird shot would kill you? If you took it right in the face? Could.
If it hit you in the face, yeah. I know I used to work with a guy who got shot. I think they were pheasant hunting. Mm-hmm. But he had a guy put a load of, I don't know, five, sixes, whatever, into his back. And he said he went from standing to, like, dirt in his teeth on the ground so fast. He said his brain couldn't, like, reconcile what had just happened.
Oh, so the force knocked him.
Oh, he said it was like getting hit by a truck. I mean, he said he just, like, and I know another guy. He's a outdoor photographer who, when he was, like, 14, they were duck hunting. And they shot a duck, and it was – they didn't have dogs with them, so they paddled out in their canoe or their little flat bottom or whatever they had, and he shot that duck on the water, and one of the BBs skipped and hit a guy on shore in the cheek. And so he said the guy – they lived in the same town forever, so, like, often he'd be, like, at the cafe, and he'd be like, oh, there's that guy shot in the face when I was 14. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. Yeah, gun. That's more like a gun accident thing. Just be very careful with guns,
right? Right.
Because you hear these stories about. It's always on the news. There's a guy who got into his truck. He was, you know, they were pushing deer, and so he quickly gets back in his truck to kind of circle around the section. But as he puts the gun down, he accidentally pulls the trigger, and a slug goes through his boot and, like, takes half his foot.
Right.
And so, do you think that that guy gets made fun of now because he only has half a foot? Or do you think people are like, be careful, this is what happens? Like, they use him as a serious, or they make fun of him?
Probably both. Depends how close you are to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if I blew my half of my foot off from a shotgun accident, would you make fun of me?
I would use that to try to get you to start the Six Toes podcast.
What would we talk about on the Six Toes podcast?
You know what? You could probably, if you blow off most of your toes and you're already missing a finger, I bet you have a hell of a fucking future in OnlyFans, buddy. Because there are going to be some freaks out there who are like, I'm looking for this guy who looks like he was almost through the wood chipper.
Yeah. Man, some of the money on OnlyFans is potentially pretty good, but I don't think I have the body type for that. Like,
that's why you got to blow your toes off, buddy.
Okay, so do it on purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a real fetish thing, but I think you got an audience out there.
Hypothetical question, Tony. If you knew you were going to make X amount of dollars,
100%,
you would take, let's say,
absolutely.
Okay. How much money would it take a month for the rest of your life to cut your own hand off?
Oh, I thought you were going to just, I went a different direction with that.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were like, what would it take for you to be an OnlyFans guy? And I'd be like, not that much.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
My job is basically that with my clothes on. to cut my hand off?
Cut your hand off. Cut your hand off, but you're guaranteed this amount of money every month
for the rest of your life. Hand.
Maybe the person who chops it off gets to pick.
It would take a lot, buddy.
A lot of money.
I use my hands for all kinds of stuff.
$100,000 a month for the rest of your life to cut your hand off. That's $1.2 million a year.
Can I do a tiny bit of research on where they are with, like, prosthetics first?
Nope. I'm going to step in and I'm going to say you get the old school claw. That all trick-or-treater kids are afraid of. Like, we had this guy when I was a kid. He got his hand caught in some farming equipment, so he had the claw, and it was just like, tongs. Yeah. And so everybody was all freaked out by him. He's a nice guy, but everybody's freaked out by him. That's what you have to wear for the rest of your life.
I don't think $100,000 a month would be enough. I would like to think it would be. Until I was sitting there and my hand was on the chopping block and you were sitting there with an axe or a machete, I think I'd be like, that's not enough money.
Dude.
It would take a lot of money, buddy.
Dude. How much? Is there a number?
200,000, 2 mil a year for like 2.4 mil for the rest of your life. A year for the rest of your life.
That's a lot.
To
of
cut
money.
Your hand off.
Man.
That's life-changing money.
Right.
That's life-changing money.
That's a life-changing injury.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude. I think I could get there. I think maybe I could get there. Okay. I don't know.
Well, think about it.
Yeah, I don't know where to go on this one, buddy.
It's all good, dude. These podcasts are pointless anyway.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
Why you still come back blows my mind. I'm gonna keep asking you until you say no.
All three of the listeners who are left on this one are like, Pearson, that's a lot of money, buddy.
Take the money.
You're not doing that much cool shit with your hands right now, dude. Take the frickin' money. You got a point, all right, guys. All three of you.
On that note, we're gonna log off right here. Tony's gonna think about his life some more, and I'm going to maybe make a breakfast burrito downstairs. So thanks for listening, I guess.
I'm so glad you shared that information with us.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.